Graphic Audio presents Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator by Ido Van Belkom. Copyright 2007, Ido Van Belkom. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Players. Episode 8, Drivers of the Purple Rage.
When Bud gave Mark Dalton his choice of Lowe's, he decided on the one headed for the East Coast. Even though it was one of the biggest ports on the east coast of North America, Halifax was one of the few parts of the country he'd never been to. Given the choice between a reefer of beef headed for Montreal, a flatbed laden with machine equipment bound for Sudbury that would have to be buttoned down every 100 kilometers, and a van trailer full of plastic pool toys made in China and destined for Halifax, the decision was an easy one to make. The lighter cargo would be easier on motherload, and since it wasn't due into the warehouse in Halifax for 3 days, he could take his time with it. Hopefully, the trip would be an uneventful one, which would be a welcome change after the events of the past few months. On his last trip to the West Coast and back, he'd helped a fellow trucker get untangled from a bunch of smugglers, got caught up in an insurance scam, got ripped off on some routine truck repairs, almost got killed working on a movie set, helped a friend keep his rig, and spent 2 hellish days as a dispatcher. That would have been enough excitement to last a lifetime for most truckers, but Mark seemed to have a talent for finding trouble. Or perhaps trouble had a way of finding its way to him, sort of like an old dog always being able to find its master. Whatever the reason for it, Mark was looking forward to a leisurely drive to the coast, maybe a day on the beach in Lawrencetown trying out a surfboard, and then a load out of the port heading west. The future looked comfortable. Peaceful. Just then, an older model Chrysler New Yorker cut in front of him, trying to squeeze into the lane to get around a Suburban pulling a trailer in the left-hand lane. Mark had to jam on the brakes to avoid hitting the Chrysler, and the light load gave the trailer's tires no real grip on the asphalt. The rear wheels locked up and his rig hardly slowed at all.
Shit, shit, shit!
Mark turned the wheel right to keep his front bumper from being clipped by the speeding car. The right front tire of his Peterbilt caught the shoulder and he started sliding to the right over the gravel and dirt on the side of the highway. The Chrysler straightened out, sped past the Suburban, and turned back into the passing lane, causing the driver of that vehicle to slam on his brakes and veer into the lane in front of Mark. Again, Mark had to turn the wheel sharply to avoid a collision. Behind him, the trailer swung wildly out across the highway, and then mercifully straightened out.
Crazy son of a bitch!
By now, Mark was traveling slowly, and all the other vehicles around him were traveling less than 70. He downshifted a few times to find the right gear, then began the long, slow climb back up the gears to get his rig back up to speed. The Chrysler was about 0.5 kilometer up the highway, driving slightly slower now since it didn't have to weave and swerve through traffic. As Mark passed the Suburban, he could see the driver wiping his brow with a handkerchief, and the woman in the passenger seat jawing a blue streak as she pointed an accusatory finger at the Chrysler down the road. Mark was angry at the driver, too. After all, he could have killed somebody.
Well, you're not gonna get away with that, sonny.
He was up past 110 now, and he could probably get it up to 120 and cruise along at that speed for hours. Even if he didn't catch up to the Chrysler, he might be able to stay behind it, looming large in his mirrors so the driver would know that what he'd done was not only wrong, but downright dangerous. As the speedometer flirted with 120, the blue and white welcome sign for Kingston zoomed past on Mark's right. At this rate, he'd be through Brockville and Cornwall in just a few hours, and would likely reach Halifax much earlier than expected. More importantly, he was getting closer to the bastard in the Chrysler. Another few kilometers and he'd be on him, right up his rear end, giving him a little taste of his own medicine. Outside of Brockville, Mark had managed to pull directly behind the Chrysler. When he got up close to the 10-year-old burgundy sedan, he was able to read the vanity plate below the trunk lid. Big SHT. Mark wondered what was supposed to go between the H and the T. It was either an O or an I. The driver probably thought O, but Mark was convinced it was I. When the front of his Peterbilt was just a few feet from the rear bumper of the Chrysler, Mark let the driver have a blast from his horn. The sound must have startled the driver because the Buick suddenly swerved like a snake slithering down the road.
How do you like that?
The driver of the Chrysler rolled down his window and gave Mark the bird. Mark saw the man's middle finger waving in the air and tightened his grip on the steering wheel until his knuckles turned white. He could feel his face getting hot and red, and his body was a tightly packed ball of rage and in danger of exploding. The driver pulled over as if to let Mark by, but Mark wasn't having any of it. He pulled into the right-hand lane behind the car and kept his foot down hard on the accelerator. The driver was obviously tired of the high-speed chase and moved left to let Mark by.
You're not getting off that easy, asswipe.
Again, Mark pulled behind him, pushing the guy along with his huge rig, forcing him to keep up the pace, even if he had enough of playing cat and mouse. The driver moved into the right-hand lane again, but this time he tried slowing down so that he could get behind Mark and hopefully be done with it. But Mark wouldn't let him. He began inching over to the right, cutting off the lane and leaving the other driver with no place to go. The driver was forced onto the shoulder, just like Mark had been forced to do an hour earlier. Dirt, gravel, and dust rose up in a plume behind the car, and the driver had to struggle to keep the swerving car under control.
Yeah, how's that for you, buddy?
And then the car jammed on its brakes and began skidding to a stop. It was gone from the lane and had fallen far behind Mark's rig. Mark reveled in his victory. He'd shown that guy in the Chrysler a thing or two, and he doubted if he'd go speeding down the 401 again anytime soon. He raised the middle finger of his right hand, knowing full well the driver would never see it.
I'm number one, pal.
Just then, Mark saw a minivan in the lane ahead of him. He was still moving as quickly as his rig could go, and the minivan was cruising along, probably just under the speed limit. Mark took his foot off the accelerator and started downshifting, but it wasn't going to be enough. He jammed on the brakes and struggled to keep the front of his Peterbilt from slamming into the back of the tiny vehicle in front of him. The back tires cried out in pain and torment as they tried to get a grip on the highway, and the trailer began to slide out to the left, sweeping across the passing lane like an arm clearing off a tabletop. There was another car in the lane, a tiny Geo Metro that would probably be destroyed if it came into even the slightest contact with the trailer. And suddenly it was over. The trailer straightened out, the wheels unlocked, and he was rumbling along at 95. There were kids in the back of the minivan. They waved to him. Mark waved back. There was a young girl riding in the Metro. She was talking to the young guy behind the wheel, a boyfriend or fiancé, as if she didn't have a clue about how close she'd just been to being killed. Killed by a maniac road rager named Mark Dalton. How many times had he read about road rage and felt he was too much of a professional to ever become caught up in the heat of the moment? How many times had he shook his head after reading about some bizarre account of some experienced driver losing it out on the highway? How many times had he said he was above all that? Countless times. But in the end, he wasn't immune to it. He'd fallen victim to it, just like all the others, and nearly killed a few innocent people in the process.
Never again. It's not worth it.
He looked in his rearview mirror for the Chrysler, thinking maybe he could apologize to the driver. But the car was little more than a tiny speck in the mirrors now.
Keeping a safe distance, huh? And I don't blame you.
Mark focused on the road ahead, brought his rig up to 105 and switched on the cruise control, suddenly content to let the rest of the world pass him by. Between Brockville and Cornwall, the highway had been fairly quiet. Up ahead, in the lane in front of him, Mark saw an empty lowboy that he seemed to be reeling in at a pretty good clip. He hadn't had to pass anyone for a while, and he wasn't keen on doing it now since he was in no real hurry. But this rig was moving too slowly for him to follow for any length of time. Mark checked his mirrors, saw there wasn't anyone racing up the left lane, and pulled out to pass. He was creeping past the lowboy slowly, almost making him wonder why he was even bothering to pass the guy. But it soon became obvious that the guy had sped up while Mark was trying to pass him. Mark knew plenty of drivers who hated being passed by other truckers, especially when they were pulling a light load and some big tanker roared on because of some big horsepower advantage. Maybe this guy was like that, although it wasn't likely since Mark wasn't hauling anything but puffed up plastic and foam and the guy's trailer was empty. After about 20 seconds, Mark was still trying to get by, inching up the lowboy as if his fingers were walking along the trailer to mark his progress. He pressed the accelerator down hesitantly, not wanting to get caught up in another situation like the one he had earlier in the day. At last, he was even with the other trucker's cab. He looked over at the man and waved hello. The other driver had only been periodically glancing to his left, but when Mark gave him a wave, he immediately put his eyes on the road in front of him and kept them there.
And a good day to you too, buddy.
Finally, he was past the lowboy and was just waiting for his trailer to clear it so he could move back into the right-hand lane when he noticed a road crew working in the passing lane up ahead. One of their trucks was halfway out into the lane, and a few orange cones were lined up on the shoulder. Mark checked his mirror and saw the other driver was still trying to match his speed, as if he wanted Mark to work damn hard to pass him. Well, Mark was working. In fact, he was sweating now. He had two choices. He could either hit the road crew's truck, or he could cut off the lowboy and hope the two trucks didn't touch. He decided on the latter, since it was the only one in which it might be possible for everyone to get through it without a scratch. He floored the accelerator and waited for the last possible moment, then pulled right. He missed the rear end of the road crew's truck, which had now pulled completely onto the shoulder, and he managed to get far enough in front of the lowboy so that at worst, the other driver would have to slam on his brakes.
Sorry.
Mark looked into his mirrors. The lowboy was sending up a cloud of black smoke, and the trailer seemed to be shuddering on the asphalt. The rig began to grow smaller in his mirrors as the driver pulled over onto the side of the highway.
This is Motherlode to the fella in the lowboy. Do you copy? Maybe we'll meet up somewhere down the road.
The lowboy had become a tiny speck in his mirrors now, but he could still make out the plume of smoke rising up from its stack as the rig got up some speed and prepared to rejoin traffic. But as the minutes passed, it became apparent that the lowboy wasn't just getting back into the highway's flow. He was making some serious steam trying to catch back up to Mark. With each kilometer that passed, the white early model Volvo with a rhubarb across the front of its grille grew larger and larger in his mirrors. He guessed it was around 10 years old, probably with more than a few million kilometers on it. It was obvious the rig wasn't going to win any races, but Mark wasn't in the mood for driving like a maniac. After all, he'd been there and done that just that morning, and that had been enough excitement, even for Mark. But the lowboy just kept on coming. Mark saw a sign for a rest station coming up in another 2 kilometers and figured it was about time for a break. Sitting down with a meal and a newspaper might do him some good, and it might also give the guy in the lowboy a chance to cool off. He pulled right onto the off-ramp and slowed his rig. He brought it around back and parked it so that he would be able to see it from several of the picnic tables set up outside the rest station. As he walked toward the main building, Mark noticed that the lowboy had also pulled in and had parked in one of the few open spots at the opposite end of the lot from Motherlode. He watched the rig for a long time, waiting for the man to get out and approach him, but he never did.
Well, at least he's not looking for a confrontation.
He used the restroom, ordered a burger, fries, and coffee, and then bought a copy of the National Post to read while he ate. He was halfway through the sports section by the time he finished eating and carried his coffee with him back to his rig. As far as he could tell, the lowboy driver hadn't come into the rest station, and maybe hadn't even left his rig. Perhaps he was tired and needed to catch a few winks. Hopefully, that would explain his erratic driving. Sure, the guy had spent most of the day driving to deliver whatever equipment he was carrying, and now that he was returning home, he was beat, just trying to put a few more kilometers under the wheels before taking a break. That was probably it, had to be. It sure beat thinking that he'd tried to get Mark killed after Mark had cut him off through no fault of his own. Mark paused a moment in the parking lot. Maybe he should go over and knock on the guy's cab and explain what happened. He could tell him he was sorry and that he hadn't meant to send him off the road. Then again, the guy might be sleeping by now, dreaming of someone like Shannon Tweed, and Mark waking him wasn't going to make matters any better. Might even piss him off. But if Mark left now, the guy would be sleeping for another few hours, and by the time he woke up, Mark would be halfway to Halifax. That made the most sense. They were both professionals, after all. Best to just let it go. Water under the bridge, or more appropriately, asphalt under the tires. And they could both get on with the job of delivering goods and making themselves a living, while making sure stuff like that didn't happen again. Satisfied with his decision, Mark took a sip of his coffee and headed for his rig. In moments, he was underway. As he cleared his trailer of the other rigs parked in the lot, he noticed movement in his mirror. Apparently, Lowboy was on the move, too. By the time Mark neared the Ontario-Quebec border, it was obvious that the driver of the Lowboy was following him. He had matched Mark's pace every kilometer of the way, even passing other vehicles when it was unsafe to do so just to stay behind him. Mark wondered if he should radio for help, or perhaps try to reach the Ontario Provincial Police to report. Report what? That some driver was following him on the highway, driving just as fast as he was, no more or no less? There was no law against following another trucker. Hell, Mark did it himself often enough when he was tired and the guy in front of him was doing a decent enough pace. But this guy wasn't just following him, he was keeping Mark close to him, like he hadn't forgotten about being cut off by Mark back near Brockville.
Man, he must really be pissed off.
Mark upped his speed to 110, hoping to catch the other driver by surprise and see him fade into the distance. No chance. The guy was accelerating as well, keeping between 1 and 2 truck lengths behind him. It was a crazy situation, sort of like that famous TV movie Duel that starred Dennis Weaver as some sad sack salesman being pursued across the California desert by a crazed trucker driving a big tank trailer, presumably filled with oil. But that was a movie. This, on the other hand, was the real thing, and in real life, people could get hurt. Maybe Mark, maybe the other driver, but just maybe some 2-year-old whose parents were driving to Montreal to visit Nana and Opa. Mark shook his head at the thought. He couldn't keep driving all day without a break. Neither of them could. But it didn't look as if the other driver was going to back down any, so it was up to Mark to do something. He decided the best thing would be to get away from the guy before he had the chance to do something crazy. Mark pressed his foot down hard on the accelerator. He heard the Cummins lag behind for a moment, then thrum at a higher pitch. Soon, the entire rig was gaining speed and the speedometer slowly began to acknowledge he was accelerating. 115, 116, 118. Mark checked his mirrors and saw that the rhubarb on the front of the Volvo tractor wasn't getting any smaller, but actually loomed even larger in his mirrors, like the crazy fool was actually gaining on him. Mark kept accelerating, pulling out into the passing lane to glide by a pickup truck fully loaded with furniture and appliances. 120 now. The lowboy was getting even closer, as if the guy was willing to burn out his motor just to give Mark a scare.
Well, I am scared. Scared that somebody's gonna get killed and the event will end up on one of those road rage websites for all my fellow truckers to see.
When he was down to just over 100, he brought his foot down again and began feeding fuel into the engine. Then he pulled over into the passing lane, giving the lowboy behind him plenty of opportunity to get by. But the lowboy slowed as well, staying in the right-hand lane as if he were minding his manners and had no business getting out in front of Mark. Cars were beginning to back up in both lanes behind them. Surely a cop would soon be on to them, and then Mark would be the one at fault. Mark pulled back into the right lane and brought Motherlode back up to a comfortable speed.
Damn it!
Even though the guy hadn't done a damn thing to him, his mere presence was incredibly annoying, and if nothing else, it was diverting Mark's attention away from the road. This had to be the opposite of road rage, Mark thought. Road unrage, he should call it, where a driver is driving erratically to avoid a nasty confrontation, but without any luck. He had a long way to go before he got to Halifax, and if this guy hounded him the entire way, he'd be a nervous wreck by the time it came for him to deliver his load and interact with a shipper.
All right, I've had enough.
He decided it was time he reported this guy to the police. Regardless of what his intentions were, the lowboy driver had put people's lives at risk by trying to stay behind Mark at all costs. Even if the police didn't do anything, at least the guy would know Mark wasn't about to let him get away with trying to scare him half to death.
This is a 911, Ontario Provincial Police. Do you copy?
No answer. In fact, judging by the lack of static coming from the box, Mark couldn't even be sure his radio was working.
Can I have a radio check, please? Son of a bitch!
He realized the guy had probably disabled his radio at the last rest station. This was getting serious, and Mark was getting nervous. He could pull over and stop, but that would just give the guy the chance to pick a fight with him in the middle of nowhere. Besides, it was recommended that you drive to a police station or a public place, or if at night, some place where there was plenty of light. Well, it was the middle of the day and there wasn't a police station in sight. Up ahead, there was a sign for another rest station. Excellent. Mark would pull in, park his rig, and try to talk some sense to the guy. He'd apologize, buy the guy lunch, anything, just so that it could be over and they could both be on their way. And not only that, but a bathroom break after all the excitement on the road wouldn't be a bad idea either. A second sign appeared at the side of the highway, and Mark knew that one way or another, this whole thing would be over in just a few minutes. Mark slowed and signaled to exit the highway. He checked his mirrors and saw that the lowboy wasn't signaling at all. He wasn't even slowing down. Mark watched closely as the lowboy continued on past the rest station and on down the highway. He was gone.
Thank God that's over with.
Mark made use of the facilities inside the rest station, and then wondered if he should pick up a coffee and something to go. A coffee would be great, and there was a Tim Hortons in the rest station, which was his favorite. But there was something about coffee and long hauls that just didn't mix. If he had another coffee now, he'd be stopping at every rest stop between here and Halifax. No thanks. But even though he didn't want a coffee, he wasn't keen on heading back onto the highway just yet either. He wanted to give the lowboy as much time alone on the highway as he could. With any luck, someone else might cut him off or wave hello or just get on the guy's nerves. Admittedly, it wasn't much of a plan, but Mark wasn't sure there was a solution to this particular problem. Lowboy was obviously crazy. Either that or road raged. Mark decided on an apple fritter that would keep his stomach happy until dinner time, and he ate it in silence while he watched the traffic zoom by along the highway outside the window. The trucks passed by at random, and it was a lot like a lottery, really. Any one of those drivers could snap at any moment, and when it happened, Years of experience, professionalism, and just plain common sense would all get tossed out the window. It was a lottery, all right, but one in which there was no winners and way too many losers. He finished his fritter and headed back out to his rig. Before he got underway, Mark checked his radio and antenna, hoping he might be able to repair them. No such luck. Not only had Lowboy cut several of his wires, he had cut entire sections out of the wires, leaving Mark with a bunch of naked ends that were too short to be reconnected. Mark could feel the anger gathering within him, a hot pot about to boil, and did his best to remain calm. Sure, he was pissed off, but it wasn't going to do him any good to charge out of the rest station looking for blood. He could get the radio fixed easily enough, and if he needed to, he could always dial 911 on his cell phone. Reluctantly, Mark climbed into Motherlode, started her up, and headed back onto the highway. About 5 kilometers out of the rest station, Mark saw a rig up ahead parked on the shoulder.
Oh, come on!
As he neared, it became obvious that the rig pulled over onto the side of the highway was none other than the Lowboy being pulled by the Rhubarb Volvo.
Doesn't this guy ever give up?
He tried to take a quick look into the cab as he went by, but the light was wrong, and he couldn't make out anyone in either of the front seats. For a moment, he thought that maybe the guy was taking a nap, but he'd wrongly assumed that once already, and he knew in his heart that all the guy had been doing there was waiting for Mark to pass. And sure enough, before Mark was even 100 meters down the highway, the Volvo's twin stacks belched a cloud of smoke, and the Lowboy was signaling a return to the highway. Mark wasn't sure how long he could go on like this. Up ahead on the right-hand side of the highway, a pair of yellow lights were flashing atop a large rectangular sign, beckoning drivers to pull over and drive through the weigh scales.
Yes.
Mark usually didn't have much affection for the inspectors who man the coupes, but right now they seemed heaven sent. However, as much as Mark wanted to be stopped for an inspection, his cargo was very light, and he was well below his gross vehicle weight limit of 80,000 pounds. And even though Motherlode was a 6-year-old Peterbilt 379, he always kept her in top condition, so there would be no obvious reason for the inspectors to pull him over.
Just my luck.
He'd be through the station in seconds, and then he and Lowboy would be back on the highway just 1 kilometer down the road from where they left off. Mark had to think of something, and quick. And then he was struck with an idea. He reached over and got out his logbook, then took out a large black magic marker from the visor above him and quickly scribbled a message onto the back cover of the book. Then, as he slowed down to drive over the scales, he reached over and pressed the logbook up against the passenger window. Hopefully, he was moving slowly enough, and at least one of the inspectors was attentive enough to read the message. Mark watched closely as an inspector sipping a cup of coffee squinted in Mark's direction as he drove by. At first, the man expressed surprise. Then, he quickly put down his coffee and nodded at Mark. Mark slid back into the driver's seat and began shifting up through the gears, preparing for his return to highway traffic. At the same time, he kept an eye in his mirrors, watching all of the inspectors scramble out of the coupe and flag down Lowboy before he had a chance to drive through the scales. Lowboy came to a stop, probably wondering what the hell was going on. And then, before fixing his eyes on the road in front of him, Mark glanced over at the logbook that was now on the passenger seat and read the message he'd hurriedly scribbled onto the book's back cover. Lowboy behind, wielding gun. His penmanship was a bit sloppy, and he'd almost made the letters too big to fit onto the back of the book, but judging by the result, the 4 words had done their job. Maybe he had a gun, maybe he didn't. Either way, by the time the inspectors had it all figured out, Mark would be hundreds of kilometers away and driving in peace.
Thank you. If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.